On 28th February, U.S.-Israeli strikes assassinated the supreme leader of Iran. That has changed the face of West Asia. To break down the developments in the region and beyond, with me is Dr. Hakim, the Supreme Representative of Iran's Supreme Leader in India. Thank you very much for joining us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you very much.
After the assassination of Ayatollah Khomeini, who is the leader of Iran today? And how do you react to the U.S. statement saying that they would kill any other Ayatollah?
As you know, Ayatollah Khamenei has a very simple life. He was in the authority, high rank of authority in Iran for 47 years. But till now, he doesn't have a house for himself. And he has four children. None of them has a house. They are living in rented house. And as you know, they ask him, we will provide you a bunker and save place in the state basement. He refused.
And that's a question many have been asking, that why was Ayatollah Khomeini where he was when he was killed? Why wasn't he in a safe house, in a bunker?
Because he was saying, I am like other people. I want to be at the same level with other people. I should not have any special issue for myself. I should not benefit from the money of the country and budget of the country for myself. We were expecting the attack from United States of America and Israel on Iran, but he refused to leave his house. He was in his house with his family, with his wife, with his daughter, with his granddaughter, and with his daughter-in-law. They pass away. They were killed. They were martyred with him. This means that they weren't in official meeting. They weren't in any other places. Just they were in their house. And they say, we are going to kill all Ayatollahs. Yes, this is the situation which we are under it now. Let me tell you something. During the colonial era, the colonized countries' people believed that the European countries have right to kill them, had right to occupy them, have right to take their mines, have right to take their wealth, had right to do whatever they want to do. Because of that, maybe 2,000, 3,000 European soldiers occupied 20 million of the people of one country. Now also, I think the same concept exists in this era, and they think that United States of America and Israel have right to do whatever they want to do. They have right to kill anyone. They have right to hijack any president. They have right to attack any neighbors. They have right to have more than 450 nuclear weapons. They have right to do whatever missiles they want to have it. And the other countries, they should obey them and they should be under their authority.
The United States always has said that its pressure campaign against Iran, it's been about nuclear non-proliferation. In Iran's view, what is the real reason behind what the United States and Israel did on the 28th of February?
We declare, and honestly we said, that having nuclear weapons is forbidden in Iran. Even Ayatollah Khamenei, as an authority of religion authority, we call the Marja Taqlid, he issued statement and fatwa that having nuclear weapons is haram and is forbidden completely. We are not looking for that. We don't want nuclear weapons. And Iranian also, they followed him and they said, we don't want it. Iranian officials, like our presidents, former presidents, several times they announced and they stated that we are not looking for nuclear weapons. As the also nuclear agency also declared that Iran never wanted to have nuclear weapons, but we wanted for the peace issues like our medical and treatment and our hospitals. And they know, and everyone knows, that Iran never wanted to have nuclear weapons.
But Dr. Hakim, if Iran has no intention whatsoever of building nuclear weapons, why not remove all ambiguity and open the program fully to international scrutiny then?
Actually, all our bases were open for supervision. And Garusi himself, and before him also Al-Baradei, and all the director of the agency announced that Iran, this supervision to Iran never happened to any other countries. And Iran openly received them and they provided them everything. But unfortunately, they attack us within 12 days war, and they said, but now we want to look at it again and see it. Iran, because of some security, they said, now the situation is not good. Wait a little. After that, everything will be open for you.
If you had a message for Washington today, what would it be? Would it be of a warning or negotiation?
We didn't start and we didn't initiate this war. United States started, initiated this war. We were on the table of negotiation. They left the table of negotiation. And I think this war is not United States war with Iran. This war is not Israel war against Iran, but exactly this is private war from President Trump against Iran and the Prime Minister of Israel against Iran. So very soon they will understand that they make very big mistake for attacking Iran. They made very, very, very big mistake for killing the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei. Ayatollah Khamenei day and night was looking for martyrdom. I remember once he was saying, I became an old man. I'm at now is 80, at that time, was 85 years old. And he said, I am afraid that we die on hospital or by sickness or in the accident. I'm looking for the martyred. He was martyred. He achieved his wishes. But the other side, they have to know, they made very, very, very big mistake for killing innocent man, for killing an old man, for killing pious man, for killing the spiritual leader of the Muslims, Shia and Sunni.
Iranian leadership, they've faced threats from the West for a very, very long time now. There are questions now also at this point being asked about a serious internal security lapse, perhaps. Do you see any truth there?
Yes, Iran is facing a lot of problems from European countries because Iran wants to have justice and they are not agree with double standards. They want to be everyone to be look at the same, and there is no difference between Asian, Europeans, Africans. This is what Iran they want to do. Because of that, we are suffered a lot during the last decades. And we hope that we will get good opportunities and good chance for dealing with other countries.
There are very limited pictures coming in from Iran. Could you tell us how is the common man and the woman reacting to the death of Ayatollah Khamenei? And Also, you know, Trump is going on saying how he has done a favor to the people of Iran by assassinating the Ayatollah.
None of Iranian is happy with this killing. Everyone in Iran wanted Ayatollah Khamenei, followed Ayatollah Khamenei. Everyone loves Ayatollah Khamenei. And you can go and look at the street, look at the tears of the people, look at them, how they come out, look at them, how they cry. I'm nothing, but I'm here. Whenever I meet the people here, all of them are crying and coming, hugging me, and they say, we lost our father, we lost our lead, spiritual leader, we lost our everything, and it is very big loss. We should not look at some, 10, 20, or 100 people who are not happy with Ayatollah Khamenei, but the majority of Iranian, more than 95% of Iranian, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, they love Ayatollah Khamenei, they respect Ayatollah Khamenei, and this can be seen in the street, in the society, the people. Now, look at the street at the night in Iran. All the people are out and they are seeking retaliation of the killing of Ayatollah Khamenei.
Iran has strengthened ties with both Russia and China in the recent years. Is this driven by Western isolation, or is there more to the bilateral relationships here?
Actually, Iran wanted to have a link with all countries, but some countries denied to have good relationship with Iran because they wanted to dictate their policy, their concept to Iran, and Iran wasn't agree. He said, we are independent country. We have to have our policy. We have to do whatever we want to do. And some countries weren't agree with that one. Because of that, Iran also established very, very, very good relationship with Russia, with China, and even had very good relationship with India.
Iran and Russia, they signed a long-term, 20-year-long strategic partnership in 2025, covering military, economic, and political cooperation. How much of this partnership is really shared by Western isolation and Western sanctions?
Ayatollah Khamenei is the one who was insisted Iranian governments that they should have a good relationship with Russia, and they have to sign this 20-year strategic plan for different fields like economic, politics, and some education also. And Iran started working closely with Russia, and they are doing it, and they have a lot of achievements in this field. Surely, there are some other countries are not happy with this, dealing with this agreement, and we hope that in near future this agreement and relationship between Iran and Russia will be more and more and more.
As news of Ayatollah's killing emerged, there were several protests that took place in India, for example, and mostly, of course, the Shia community from Karnataka, from Lucknow to Kashmir. What does that kind of emotional message it says about the ties between Shias in Iran, but also India in Iran?
As soon as the news of martyrdom of Ayatollah Khamenei spread in whole the world, it was the resurrection. Everyone came out. In India, in Iraq, in Bahrain, in a lot of Africa, and even in European countries, even in America itself, a lot of people have come out. And these people weren't all of them Shia, some of them Shia, some of them Sunni, some of them Christians, some of them Hindu, some of them Buddhists. They were saying that we are not Muslim. But we are not Iranian, but we are human being. We have sense, we have feeling. And how they kill old man like this, the man who sacrificed himself for seeking justice, for freedom, for dignity, for humanity.
India is also home to a large number of Shia population after Iran, the largest
yes.
in the world. Would you say then the relationship between India and Iran is more of a religious or a spiritual one or also geopolitical?
The relationship between Iran and India is not depends on religion. Because before Islam, 3,000 years ago, we had good relationship. We had the same civilization. We had the same philosophy. We were working together. And there were a lot of trip between Iranians and Indians because we were neighbor. We were neighbor at that time. So our relationship is not something new. And I said, please, the relationship which is for 3,000 cannot broken down for some years, relationship with other countries. No, we have good relationships, and this relationship is not depend on the religion. Yes, we have a lot of Shia between maybe 40 to 50 million or more or less. I don't know exactly the numbers, but we have a large number of Shia here, and they follow Ayatollah Khamenei as a marja taqlid, scientific religion authority, just for that one. But they are very loyal to their country.
Now, after the killing of Ayatollah Khamenei, we saw massive protests in Kashmir. So it would be fair to ask you, where did Ayatollah Khamenei stand on the Kashmir issue? Did he back Pakistan more than India?
Ayatollah Khamenei always was insisting on the unity between people in India, and he was insisting on the security in India, and he was saying, this is what we are looking for. Never is Kashmir is special for us. There is no difference between Kashmir, Delhi, Lucknow, and any other cities.
How do you see the developments in the Indian Ocean now? Many Iranian sailors have been injured there as well, and now they're in Sri Lanka.
Actually, the crisis doesn't bring security, doesn't bring peace, doesn't bring justice. And if there is crisis in any area, the crisis will cause a lot of suffering and problems and difficulties in another area. Yes, a lot of other people in different countries are suffering by this crisis and conflict. But they have to try to stop the crisis, and they try to provide good opportunity for the people to live in peace. I think this is the responsibility of the presidents, prime presidents of different countries. They have to come and they have to put their voice together, and they have to push and force the United States of America and Israel to stop this unjust war against Iran, against Iraq, against Lebanon.
India's championed connectivity projects like the Chabahar port with Iran, but many say the progress there has been very slow. How does Tehran see New Delhi's commitment to this project?
Iran wants to have very, very good and deep relationship with India. Also, the Chabahar is one of that. It was slow. I remember when we reported the issue of slowly of this agreement in Chabahar to Ayatollah Khamenei, he insisted on official, on the ministry, that you have to do this one unconditionally. You have to do it, and they did it. Now also they want to have more achievement and progress, and we hope that in very near future, our relationship will be more deeper and wider and better.
The world today is shifting from a U.S.-dominated order to a more multipolar order. Where do you see Iran in this new emerging world order?
The philosophy and reason of attacking to Iran, to Iraq, to Syria, to Afghanistan, even to Venezuela, is stopping this transformation of the power from America to the multi-powers. In the near future, there will be more powerful countries. One of them is Russia, China, India. So Iran also is active in this field. And the reason of all this crisis is that the United States of America and Israel, they want to stop this transformation, and they cannot do.
Now, after the assassination of Ayatollah, there is a crisis brewing in Central Asia. Do you think U.S. is trying to control oil in the world?
Of course. U.S. want to have control over everything in whole the world. You look at the tariff we imposed other countries. You look at the taxes imposed other countries. United States, actually, during the time of the new president, wants to have control over all the world, including some countries which are very powerful, but they wanted to dictate their policy on them.
You yourself, you've met Ayatollah Khomeini on several occasions. What stands out for you in your personal memories about him?
Yes, I remember a lot from him. First of all, he was insisting of unity between the people, whether Muslim and non-Muslim. He loved Iran, India too much. And several times he was asking me, please, how many books about India did you read? He was asking me, if you want to know the history of Iran deeply, you have to know the history of India deeply. Because of that, he was aware of everything in India. He loved India. He loved people of India. And several times he mentioned that the India is very unique symbol of coexistence between different followers of different religions.
Right.
He was very humble. I remember once I was his guest and he brought it for me for the lunch, just only bread and potatoes. I ate some and I was waiting for the lunch, the main meals. But I didn't see anything. I asked him, where is it? Where is the lunch? He said, it was the lunch. He was very humble. Even I told you, his sons, four sons, till now they don't have houses. They are living in rented house.
Dr. Hakim, thank you very much for speaking to us.
I thank you. And we hope that we witness world with the peace, with the justice, and there is no double standard in the world. Thank you very much.